You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Come on around back, Arizona. We're going all the way back to the back 40. It's the first Saturday of the month, so we're talking farm fresh this week. This month, we're covering tomatoes. Well, we've got Julie Murphy with the Arizona Farm Bureau just in from Parker, Arizona.
Yes, just came in last night, rolled into my house at midnight. So it's the launch of 14 different county annual meetings that Arizona Farm Bureau will be hosting. And last night's was La Paz County's annual meeting. It was really fun. And it's so pretty up there. You kind of drive into the canyons and go past the river. It's just beautiful.
So what do you do at an annual meeting, county meeting?
It's kind of a culmination. They get some of their policy voted on. Oftentimes, if new officers are coming in and going out, there's got to be an election of officers for that particular county. And really, for Farm Bureau, the counties are what I call the core. They're the power. They're the grassroots. They're the ones that drive for us at the state level all of the policy that we need, that we're obligated to carry out for them. And that's the policy that we do to protect our farmers and ranchers. We're in the business of making sure that John and Jane Doe, farmer and rancher here in the state of Arizona, can be profitable and successful and continue the next generation. And it all starts at the counties. So La Paz County Farm Bureau was on a roll because they launched it all. And literally, we'll have all of those 14 county annual meetings completed by the end of August. Actually, we have one the first week in September, and that's Greenlee County Farm Bureau. That's, I think, the 2nd or 3rd of September, but most all of them are taken care of within August.
And does every county in Arizona have a Farm Bureau, or is there one that doesn't?
There's only one. Pima and Santa Cruz County are kind of combined. So we have 14 active counties of the 15 counties in the state of Arizona. It's pretty cool. So really all of them are active. Our farmers and ranchers are busy. And one of them we're about to talk to is a really busy guy.
Yes, the director of the Department of Agriculture is joining us today as well. Mark Killian is online. Welcome, and thanks for carving time out of your Arizona Saturday to join us online.
Glad to be there. Julie, how are you doing?
Good. Doing great, Mark, and thanks for being a member of Arizona Farm Bureau. I got to throw that prop out there.
That's right. Our family's been a member for many, many years.
Yes, absolutely. So go ahead, Romy.
First, what's the difference between the Arizona Farm Bureau and the Arizona Department of Agriculture? What are the different functions each entity serves?
Well, because Mark has a more important title than I do, I think he should answer that.
Well, there are several things. The Department of Agriculture, which was created by the legislature back in 1991 by combining a whole bunch of commissions, has a charge to protect, promote, and regulate agriculture. And so I tell people we speak about agriculture, but we don't speak for agriculture. And the Arizona Farm Bureau speaks for agriculture. They're not in the regulation business. They're in the business of promoting agriculture and helping farmers and ranchers to develop policy to impact my Department of Agriculture, their Department of Agriculture, in our rules and regulations, any statutes that need to be changed. And so we're really, as in all the organizations in the state that deal with farming and ranching, we work hand in hand. We're sister relationships in those activities.
That was a beautiful explanation. And again, Mark Killian is the director of the Arizona Department of Agriculture. And one of the reasons why I asked him to come on, and he has been on the show before, but he's so well embedded in the agriculture community, including having a generational farm and ranch family himself. But that was one of the things that I love to kind of describe, and following on Mark Killian's cue, is that, you know, we're in this together, the Arizona Farm Bureau. We're not a governmental organization, but literally that policy drive in the counties with all these county meetings that we're experiencing this month will influence what goes to the legislature. And then once it passes in the legislature, if there's some kind of regulation management that has to take place based on what's passed, then Mark and his team kind of oversee that. Is that a fair description also, Mark?
I think so. That's exactly what goes on. And what the Farm Bureau does, to a large degree, they have various levels of government that they have to deal with. They deal with the feds, they deal with the counties, they deal with the state, they deal with the local cities. And so many times the Farm Bureau is engaged at all levels of government because government at all levels has a tendency to work on, or I don't want to say work against, but work on agriculture issues. And many times people trying to make those decisions aren't really familiar with what's going on in agriculture at the ground level.
Exactly. And the ground level is where it all starts, especially with agriculture. And that's why, Mark, I think we should ask you about your generational farm and ranch family. Can you give us a kind of brief overview in this segment of the show?
Sure. My family has been involved in farming and ranching in Arizona for over 100 years. It goes clear back into the 1870s, 1880s. Both on my mom's side and my dad's side, they were involved in business and farming and ranching. And we've owned ranches and farms in Arizona and California and New Mexico and Colorado and Kentucky. And today we're all consolidated in Arizona. We farm down by Arizona City, and we ranch in Safford and Wilcox, and up near Sholo, we have a program where we sell our beef at our farm there in Mesa. My son Philip runs that program. It's called Killian Beef. We grow cotton and alfalfa, and in the past, when my grandpa started the farm in Mesa back in 1929, he grew citrus and melons and had a feedlot, and my grandpa partnered with Mr. McKellips Road, Mr. Lincoln, Lincoln Drive. Mr. Lincoln was a nephew of President Lincoln. They were the first two people really to come in into the East Valley and grow citrus, and they partnered with my grandpa, and they sold citrus, oranges all over the world. In fact, when my dad was in the Navy back in the end of the World War II and he was unloading ships in Guam, he unloaded a pallet of Sunny Mesa citrus.
Oh, I love it.
Made him homesick.
So, I bet.
Yeah. So we've been involved in farming and ranching, and my grandfather, to put it, go a little further, he was Secretary of Arizona Streams Commission and was on the original group that created the Central Arizona Project, and so our family's been deeply rooted in agriculture in Arizona.
And you're embedded where the citrus farm and where you sell your Killian beef, it's right off of Higley, and is it Southern? And
yes,
thousands of cars pass it daily, and they don't know that there's this little concentrated farm or ag business that's going on. So you're embedded in the urban community with your agriculture.
We're totally surrounded, and we love our neighbors. I hope they love our flies and our smells. But anyway, we
it's
have
a farm
there. They love the trees. Some of those trees are the original trees that my grandpa planted back in 1948. They're Navels and Arizona Sweets, and that's our headquarters for all our operations. And besides the Freemans, we're probably the last true operating farm in Mesa City limits.
Now, are you committed to staying there in that little corner, so to speak?
We'll stay there as long as the city will put up with us.
And so far, they seem to be putting up with you.
You know, it's interesting. The neighbors, everyone likes the cattle, and of course, we've got our chicken tractor there now, and they like to come and look at the chickens and the cattle. We're right next to Sunline Village, and we get a lot of the Midwest farmers that retire there, and they always walk over onto the farm and want to see what's going on, and which we appreciate and enjoy. And it's kind of a little oasis for the urban folks to see what's going on with farming and ranching, and we've got one of our pastures is by one of the main streets there next to the neighbors, and the neighbors are always coming by and feeding my cattle candy bars and carrots and all kinds of stuff, and we love it. And they bring their kids by and they see them, and it's just a great thing that we have going there.
And you've had an opportunity more than once to turn it into a chance to talk with the non-ag, you know, Arizona family member about agriculture and kind of explain it and the complexities and the diversities of our industry. You've had some pretty interesting encounters.
Well, we have. We've had because a lot of the urban folks that live around us aren't, you know, they're two or three or even five generations away from the farm, and they'll come by and ask all kinds of interesting questions. I had a young lady that she thought one of my gray Brahma bulls was a goat, and so we had a long conversation about the difference between a goat and a Brahma bull. But we had a chance to bring her on the farm, and she really, for the first time, had a chance to see what we did and our humane practices and how we treat our animals. And she came away with a whole different view of agriculture. She was an animal rights activist and very active in that, and she learned quite a bit. And it was a great opportunity for me to hear her out and her concerns and express to her what we did to take care of our animals. And to me, that's the main issue that urban folks need to understand, that in agriculture, in order for us to survive, we have to take care of our animals, we have to take care of the soil, all of the additives we put in the soil, our plants. We are 100% totally dependent on the environment, and if we don't take care of the environment, we starve to death.
Exactly. Well, this also brings up another question based on how busy it's on the farm. How do you straddle being the director of the Department of Agriculture here in Arizona and then farm? I know you've got a lot of kids, but...
Well, I'm fortunate. Two of my sons run the ranches and the farms, and my brother and I are partners in our real estate and farming activities, so it's a family operation. And they're sort of used to me being diverted because I was in the legislature for 14 years, and then I ran the Department of Revenue, and then I was on the Board of Regents, and now I'm at the Ag Department. So I'm kind of the utility player in the family. I fill in where they need me to fill in. But when I get up in the morning, the first thing I do, I'm doing work on the farm, and then I take a shower and put on my bureaucrat uniform and go to the Department of Agriculture, and I do all that stuff all day long. And then when I come home, I change my clothes and put my farmer uniform back on, and I do stuff on the farm into the evening. And so really my life is 24 hours of farming and ranching, and then I try and slide a little bit of real estate in there sometime when my brother and I can talk about what's going on with our properties and things like that.
And we're hoping that you can grow tomatoes and can talk tomatoes, because that's going to be next.
Let's see. I know I can grow really good bulls, but we'll have to talk about this tomato business.
Okay.